Good morning. Everybody hear me okay? Okay, just want to make sure I don't have the mic too close. All right. So, weather's beautiful out today, and looks like we have a warm and humid day, so make sure you drink plenty of water today if you're outside, but enjoy the weather. So, we're going to start off today with hymn 317, Love Lifted Me. Let us stand and sing hymn 315.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us this morning as Pastor Frank provides a message. Father, that it touches our hearts and our souls, that we sing joy to your blood that you've given to us as a sacrifice for all of our sins and all the things that we are challenged with each and every day. Father, we thank you for your grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to do some quick announcements. I do have a message here from Pastor Dave, and this was sent by Ruth. Okay, I'm going to just read what she put in here. Today is day 8 after the transplant. He is on target for where transplant patients usually are for this day. He is very tired and sleeping most of the time. Dave is inpatient for Tuesday and Wednesday night because his heart rate was too high and his blood pressure was too low. That all got straightened out, but he is still nauseous and doesn't want to eat or drink. So now we are coming into the hospital at 9 o'clock in the morning and at 7 at night. He spiked a fever last night for the first time. They say that a fever is normal during this stretch. He gets fluids and medication for being nauseous, plus a variety of other pills that he has to take. It was reassuring when the doctor said today that since he is coming in twice a day, I didn't have to worry as much about him not eating at the motel. It sounds like it will be a couple of days yet until he turns the corner. Dave is tired of feeling tired and nauseous, but he knows that this is the way it has to be, and he wants to get through it. We both appreciate all the prayers so much. Even though this is a real rough spot, we realize that it could be even worse if it weren't for the prayers. We're thankful for our church family. Thank you, Ruth. Another announcement in your bulletin, it says that for the next Sunday, under this week's Opportunities for Christian Growth, it has some members of the Christian Motorcyclist Association will be present to give testimony. Actually, that will be July 12th, not next Sunday. Okay. Were there any other announcements? Anybody have anything else they wanted to share? Okay. All right. So we're going to go to responsive reading, and that's 632, God's Care. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
So ends the reading. So for our congressional prayer, and we know typically in the Reformed churches that these are long. So I will try to keep it short. So in this prayer, included in my prayer, is actually a prayer written from a book. It's called The Valley of Vision. It is actually a collection of Puritan prayers and other prayers from other people from this. Most of these are close to 200 years old, if not more. This one here, it's the very first one of the book, which is actually called The Valley of Vision. So as I give the prayer this morning, I'm actually going to include this prayer because it speaks to our current situation. we're dealing with in our just our environment within the country. There's a lot of challenges going on, a lot of people with the sickness and all the other things going on. I thought that this one was really hit the point. So I'm just going to go ahead and pray, and I'll read this as we go in the prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you've given us. We even thank you for the challenges that you've given us. It does bring you closer to us. But dear Heavenly Father, we also ask that we lift up our prayers for those that need our prayers the most. Pastor Dave, Don Lucas, Bernita Koima, Jody Kerner, and our homebound being Elaine Tucker. We lift up our prayers of healing and strength and peace, Father God. We ask that you watch over and protect Frank, Pastor Frank, as he gives the message today. Let him touch our hearts with his message. And Father God, as I read this prayer, I ask that it touches someone today. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me into the valley of vision, where I live in the depths, but see thee in thy heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Lord, in the daytime stars can be seen from deepest wells. And the deeper the wells, the brighter thy stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, thy glory in my valley. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have Ministry of Praise being sung by Bill Van Beek.
To find my sheep. was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard his cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Sick and helpless and ready to die. But all through the mountains, thundering, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gates of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Thank you, Bill. We stand and sing hymn 314.
Another beautiful day that God has brought us into this sanctuary to praise Him. As Don was reading those Puritan prayers, I told the folks this morning at our pastors or our meeting this morning that I have been doing a lot of genealogy work. Are there anybody here that works on their genealogy? Anybody? Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? But anyway, I have found, my oldest daughter and myself, we have found that we are direct descendants of 9 different greats, great-grandparents grandfathers and grandmothers. I think about there's a few of them that were nine greats removed, but the rest of them were 10s and 11s. But I've been doing a lot of, this is the 400th year of the Mayflower and the folks that came to Plymouth. And so I've been doing a lot of studying. They came in 1620. I've been doing a lot of studying about these folks. And boy, it amazed me as I've been studying these folks about how close they are to the Reformed tradition, because that's what they were doing. They were removing themselves or getting away from the Church of England, and a lot of them went to Netherlands, and then they ended up coming across to the United States. But as far as the way they worshiped and a lot of what they did in their worship and their beliefs was very similar to the Reformed tradition that I know, that I have studied, and maybe some of you know a whole lot more about the Reformed tradition than I do, but it was so amazing how wonderful it was to just, and continues to be to read about these folks, and there are a few books out about some of my great grandparents that I read about. So if anybody else has experienced that as being part of that Mayflower and the Puritan folks, it'd be fun to sit down and visit with you. Okay, so we have been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we've been choosing, what's that word? Pericopes, say it. Don't you just love that word? Pericopes. We've been studying pericopes, and if you haven't been here, pericope is a Greek word for passage. But we have been studying these pericopes, and we've been going through. And today we're going to be talking about how Christ will answer our prayers, and he will respond to our sufferings. Is anybody here that hasn't suffered? Christ will answer our suffering, and he will respond to our suffering if we reach out to him in faith. And we're going to be talking about that today. That's what this passage is about. I've chosen a pericope that is a little longer than what I usually choose when I preach a passage, but I think I wanted to include both of these stories. If you read once again through Mark did something here. He sandwiched a couple stories in between some other stories that quite fun to read here. So let me start with Mark chapter 5, verse 21, and I will read through verse 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, remember that word? Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, or immediately, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that it had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." "Don't be afraid, just believe," Jesus said. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Immediately. I like that word. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for being with us. Guide us and direct us now in this service of worship. Lord, may the Holy Spirit truly be present here with us today. Please guide us. Help us to understand these words. Help us to understand this passage. And Lord, I lift up to you Pastor Dave. I pray that you will guide the doctors and the nurses, and I pray that you will guide his health. We thank you for his testimony. We thank you for his courage. And we thank you for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there was once a business executive who became really depressed. Things were not going well at work, and he was bringing his problems home with him every single night. Every evening, he would sit down and eat his dinner in silence, shutting out his wife and his little five-year-old daughter. Then he would go into his den, and he would grab his newspaper, and he would sit and read his newspapers until bedtime. After several nights of this, one evening, his little girl, his five-year-old girl, came into his study, and with her little hand, she pushed the newspaper down, then jumped into her father's lap, wrapped her arms around his neck, and hugged him strongly. The father said abruptly, "Honey, you are hugging me to death." And the little girl responded, "No, Daddy, I'm hugging you to life." That's what we see in this passage today. Jesus hugging a little girl to life. And Jesus hugging a woman who had a medical issue for 12 years, hugging her back to life, who was suffering from this medical condition. So today we see that these folks, they reached out to Christ in faith, and he responded to their needs. And that's what we're going to talk about today, that when we reach out to Christ in faith, he will respond to our needs. But, folks, there's something that we have to do in this process. And there again, I say, we have to reach out. We have to reach out to Jesus in faith. Now, we see two different approaches here, don't we, of reaching out to Jesus. The first person was a very important man in the community. He was a synagogue ruler. Now, he wasn't one of the priests. He wasn't one of the religious leaders. He wasn't one of the Pharisees. His job was an administrative job. He took care of all the business of the synagogue. Now, the synagogue in Jewish life was the center of life for the Jewish community. So this man, Jairus, was a very, very important man. Once again, he wasn't one of the religious leaders, but he was a very important man. And he had to know when he came to Jesus, and when he asked Jesus to save his daughters, he had to know that he would face the wrath of his fellow workers. Remember I told you last week how the relationship between Jesus and these religious leaders, it kept mounting, didn't it? It kept getting more and more and more, all the way up to when they were planning Jesus' death, and all the way up to the cross. They were going against Jesus because of what Jesus said and what Jesus did and what Jesus represented, the Son of God. The Son of God. And they could not believe this. And they didn't want to give up their old ways. They didn't want to give up their laws. Remember, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I talked about bringing joy. Jesus came to bring joy into the world and into religion and into faith. I can appreciate the pain of this man, this jurist. I can appreciate it. I've got 4 daughters. I got one of them with me here today. I would have done the same thing. And I'm sure most of you would. When you love your kids so much, or you love your spouse so much, you would have done the same thing. Now, what about the woman who reached out to Jesus? Entirely different story, isn't it? This woman came to the end of her rope. She came to the end of her rope. She had 3 things going on in her life. The first thing was the health concern itself. 12 years she had been bleeding. That couldn't have been a good thing. So the health concern in itself was a bad thing. And the second things were the doctors, excuse the pun, but they were bleeding of all of her money. She was going broke, paying for these doctors. And so she had become financially destitute because of these greedy doctors. And the third thing that she had going for her was a social issue. She was unclean. At that time, she was unclean. She was just like one of the lepers. She wasn't allowed to touch anybody else, and nobody else was allowed to touch her. So she had the social thing going against her, too. She had all of this stuff going against her. But this woman had heard about Jesus, and her faith told her that he was the answer. Her faith had told her that this man, Jesus, could heal her. Once again, by law, she was not allowed to touch Jesus. But what did she do? She secretly reached up and just with a couple fingers touched his cloak. She touched his cloak, hoping what? To be cured. Once again, if you can imagine this issue that she had for 12 years. You know, the health concern itself, the financial part of it, the social issue of where she was with all of this. But she was hoping that this man, Jesus, the man that she heard so much about, could cure her. So she reached out in the crowd and she touched her Savior. Both Jairus and the woman reached out in faith. They had different circumstances, and they had different ways of doing, but both had faith to reach out to him. Okay, let's bring the application in here. We always got to do that, don't we? What about us? What about us? I don't think there's a person in this sanctuary that doesn't have issues from time to time. You don't. There's not a person that doesn't have some kind of suffering from time to time. But we must reach out to Jesus, just like these people did here. We must reach out to Jesus. We must believe that he truly is the Son of God. I'm pretty sure some of you are hurting right now, aren't you? I'm pretty sure that some of you are hurting right now. I'm sure there's folks here that have some health issues. I'm sure there are some folks here that have some job and money issues, some financial issues. I'm sure there's some folks in this sanctuary this morning who have some emotional issues, some spiritual issues. There are issues of everyday living in this fallen world. What's going on? Does anybody have a TV set? What do you see happening out there? COVID-19. Okay, we need to be very vigilant and taking care of ourselves from this COVID-19. But what goes with that? All the financial issues for so many people that you know, closed down businesses and work. I think we're lucky up here. I mean, I just moved here from Sioux Falls a few weeks ago, and what a difference it is up here. That's a whole lot better. But we still have TV, don't we? We still see it. And we still see all the destruction and all the rioting. What in the world? You see that day after day after day, and it eats at you, doesn't it? This is our country that we love. This is our country that those Puritans 400 years ago came here to get away from what was going on in England at the time. This is the country we love, and yet we have people tearing it apart. Doesn't that eat on you? Doesn't that eat on you when you see all of this? All of these things that are going on in our life? And as a pastor, I still have people all the time telling me that about their loved ones who are sick, who are dying, who have very serious health problems. They love these people and they want to know what to do. Well, my best pastoral advice to them is to do what Mark is giving us in this passage today. Reach out to Jesus in faith. Reach out to that word faith. What a word. Faith. That's not something that we can get. That's not something that we can wake up some morning and say, I think I want to have a whole bunch of faith today. It's something that God, it's a gift that God gives us, part of His grace that He gives us. But we got to use it. We got to use it. We got to take that faith and we got to do something with it. Just like these two people in our story today, we got to take it and we got to reach out to Jesus. And when we do, once again, the application of this, when we do, what happens to our needs? Jesus responds to them. Jesus responds to our needs. He recognizes our needs and He responds to them. Did Jesus recognize Jairus' needs? He did, didn't He? And Jesus felt Jairus' pain. Here was a man who worked in the synagogue, probably maybe didn't completely agree with Jesus' theology. Have you ever been there? Didn't agree with Jesus' theology. And if he did, he didn't most of the time express it openly because of the folks that he worked with and the religious leaders of the day. So Jesus knew that Jairus had a conflict of feelings. He knew how hard it would be for him to come to him and reach out and to get down on his knees and plead for help. But Jairus' love for his daughter, his worry over her health, drove him before Jesus. And Jesus recognized his need. What about the woman? Did Jesus recognize her need? I think this one's a little bit tougher to come up with an answer. Experts disagree on whether Jesus really knew who it was that reached out with their two little fingers like this, who reached out and touched him, touched his cloak. The experts disagree about whether Jesus recognized who she was, a specific woman. But I come down on the side that Jesus absolutely did know who touched him. And he recognized her need to be healed. Mark doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us. But I use a couple reasons here that I believe that Jesus did know who this person was. The first reason is because Jesus was and is God, right? Jesus was and is God, and God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. Of course, Jesus lived in a human body, and he had limitations just like all of us, like the rest of us. Jesus hungered, and he tired, and he felt pain, and he had human emotions of sadness and love and anger and joy. But in all the gospel accounts, Jesus never seemed to be surprised by any of the events that were going around him. So I believe Jesus did know who this woman was. And the second reason I believe that Jesus knew who this woman was and what her problem was is because he immediately, there's that word, because Jesus immediately responded to her need. The woman touched him, and verse 29 says, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. You know, in that crowd that day, there may have been 100 people or more that were surrounding Jesus. And of course, people were probably bumping into him and touching him. So why did Jesus, why this one woman out of all these hundreds of people that he knew who she was, and immediately he recognized her need and he responded to her need. And Jesus recognized and responded to Jairus' need. He went with him, and he brought his daughter back to life. Jesus recognized and responded to the woman's need. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. Once again, application here now. Does Jesus do the same thing for us? When we reach out to him in faith, will he always recognize our needs? And will he always respond to our needs? Absolutely he will. Absolutely he will. When you reach out to Jesus in faith, he will recognize your needs. He will recognize your suffering, and he will respond to it. Now I can read your minds. I can read your minds. Wait a minute, Pastor. I had needs that Jesus never responded to. My husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my sister, my mother, my father, my friend had cancer. I reached out to Jesus in faith, but my loved one still died. Jesus didn't respond to my need. Jesus didn't respond to my own pain and my own suffering. My back still hurts. I still get these horrendous headaches. I still have this cancer. I still have whatever. Jesus didn't respond to my own pain and my own suffering. I have trouble breathing. I still have these financial needs. I've been out of work for X number of days, X number of weeks. I still have all kinds of money problems. So am I just standing up here spouting off a bunch of stuff that isn't true? Is what I'm saying a huge lie? Am I wrong about Jesus responding to our needs? I don't think so, folks. And I want you to hear what I have to say next. I want you to hear this. I just think that Jesus looks at our needs a little differently than we do. And I think Jesus looks at how he should respond to them a little differently. And I think Jesus always responds to our needs in the way that is best for us. Not necessarily what we think or how we think Jesus ought to respond, but how Jesus thinks he ought to respond to us. Do you see the difference? Jesus knows us so much better than we know ourselves. Jesus knows what we need. Jesus knows it hurts for us to lose a loved one. He doesn't always save that loved one. But when we reach out to him, he will comfort us. He will comfort us. He doesn't always take away our pain and our suffering and our health needs. But he does help us through them. He doesn't always take away our money problems or our life issues. But when we reach out to him, he may put someone before us who can teach us and who can help us to better manage our lives. Folks, we're always going to have suffering. It's just part of living in this broken world that we live in. We're always going to have suffering. It's a result of fallen people living in a fallen world. If you read about the Apostle Paul, Paul said he had a thorn in his side. And he asked God if he would please. Paul begged God to take that thorn out, to take it away from him. But what did God say? God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient that my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul said, all the more, therefore I boast gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You see the difference? You see the difference in what we see as our needs and what Jesus sees as our needs? You see the difference on how we, the great Christians that we are, the great lovers of Christ that we are, thinking that Jesus should heal us in one way, but Jesus says, I got a better way, folks. I got a better way, and it's better for you that I heal you in my way. So I'm telling you, reach out in faith to Jesus with your needs. Jesus will recognize them and he will respond to them. But remember, once again, he may respond to them in a different way that you wanted to. And also remember this, folks. Jesus loves you very, very much. And he does know what is best for you. And that's how he's going to respond. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he does know our needs, that he does respond to our needs. And Lord, just help us to be patient. Help us to continue to coming to him in faith and knowing that he will be there for us. If he doesn't save that loved one, well, he will comfort us through all of that. If he doesn't heal our health and suffering, Lord, he will be with us while we go through it. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for this church. Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless them. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number 169, I Need Thee Every Hour. 169. Thank you. God truly bless you this day. May it be a day of worshiping your Savior and reach out to Him in faith. Pray to Him. Get down on your knees and worship Him and see how He responds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.